President Trump blocks the sale of a U.S. tech company to Chinese-backed investors. And unhappy German voters describe the impact of austerity ahead of elections.
Literally, they're just making sure the schools don't catch on fire.
Live from the west of England, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. We start with Chinese investment. In the U.S., it exceeds $46 billion, and there are lots of new deals awaiting approval. But President Trump has barred the sale of a U.S. advanced computer chip manufacturer to a Chinese-backed firm. The BBC's Juliana Liu in Hong Kong has more.
Although Cannon Bridge Capital is U.S.-based, the deal came under scrutiny because of one of its investors, the China Venture Capital Fund. The Trump administration said that fund's owners were Chinese state-backed entities. Cannon Bridge's founder, Benjamin Chow, also previously worked at China Reform Fund Management, which has been linked to the government as well. Cannon said in a statement that the firm was obviously disappointed in what it said was an excellent deal for struggling chipmaker Lattice Semiconductor. Cannon had offered $1.3 billion, even though in the past 2 years, Lattice had suffered falling revenue. Lattice makes something called field programmable gate arrays. These are chips that allow firms to install their own software. Lattice says it no longer sells these chips to the U.S. military. But some of its direct competitors still do. In barring the sale, the U.S. government cited risks to national security. It was concerned about the Chinese government's role in supporting the deal and the possible transfer of the company's technology. The decision has been criticized by a Chinese government spokesman. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Juliana Liu for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. China's U.S. investment may be strong, but the Hang Seng slipped 116 points, or 0.42%, as retail sales and factory output grew less than expected. That's pressuring European shares ahead of a key rate decision from the Bank of England. Germany's DAX is down 29 points, or 0.24%.
The UK's fifth largest mortgage lender, Northern Rock, has urged customers not to panic following the announcement that it's to receive emergency funding from the Bank of England. Queues of people have formed outside many Northern Rock branches. Some
that was 10 years ago, the first run on a British bank in 150 years. It's what most look to as the start of the great financial crisis here in the UK. In the US, many think of Lehman. Professor Steve Keen is head of the School of Economics at Kingston University.
We don't even know what caused it, or rather not we don't know what caused it, but the authorities still haven't acknowledged what caused it, and it's only rebels like myself who identified it before it happened that understood why it's occurred, and we know why we still haven't got away from those problems.
While we might not know what triggered it, he says the underlying problem remains the amount of personal debt in the UK.
Key problem is the level of private debt was allowed to go totally out of control. In the UK, private debt for a century, from 1880 to 1980, never exceeded about 75% of GDP. From 82 to now, it grew to 195%. Effectively, it's like having a ball and chain around your leg, and you're wondering why you can't walk quickly.
Economist Steve Keen. Next week, Germany heads to the polls, and even though Chancellor Angela Merkel is expected to win a fourth term, not everyone's happy. In Berlin, a capital city without much capital, the BBC's Joe Miller has been exploring the impact of austerity.
In a repurposed Berlin bus depot, five performers from across the world are rehearsing to the rhythmic score of an upcoming dance production, and they've been getting some help from the public purse. In this case, more than 4 million euros of state funding.
My name is Simone Willett. I'm a general manager of the UFA Studios. We kind of got public funding to restructure the building and making it ready for dance with perfect sprung floors and technique. We can kind of keep the costs low for the artists, so artists could actually use the spaces.
There's, of course, a flip side to the affordability that makes Berlin so attractive to young creative types. The capital city, famously described by a former mayor as poor but sexy, is the only one in Europe that's actually a drag on the rest of the country's economy. Berlin has less to spend on staff and facilities and schools, such as the Fritz Carson Schule in the underprivileged neighbourhood of Neukölln, where Ryan Plocker is a teacher.
Our school is in a state of massive disrepair. Some of the toilets are barely usable, and it rains into the auditorium. Literally, they're just making sure the schools don't catch on fire. No government institution wants to spend more money than they take in, and they're unwilling to raise taxes.
Education has not been high on the agenda in this election campaign. It was hardly mentioned in the TV debate between Angela Merkel and her left-wing rival Martin Schulz. Perhaps that's because the issue may yet sort itself out. Berlin's economy is growing fast, faster even than the capitalist strongholds of Munich and Frankfurt, and the city will soon have more to spend. But as it gets richer, those who've helped make Berlin one of the cultural capitals of Europe are worried that prosperity might come at the expense of the city's soul. In Berlin, I'm the BBC's Joe Miller for Marketplace.
Finally, the English novelist Jane Austen takes pride of place on Britain's new £10 note, ending some of the prejudice against women appearing on currency. Besides the Queen, only two other women have been on British banknotes. Miss Austen might say the move shows sense and sensibility. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.